Let me begin by saying something about this book of Proverbs as a whole. Most of it was written by King Solomon, and the theme of Proverbs is that of wisdom. The wisdom which Solomon refers to is that of practical Christianity. As we come to our text this evening, we need to notice that there in verse 21, let me just read that verse again. Let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. He's obviously speaking about the instruction that he is the father is giving to the son here in chapter 4. And what Solomon is saying is that it's not enough to hear wise instruction. It must be assimilated, it must be pondered, it must be kept at the center of man's being. Now in verse 23, which is the text we wish to give consideration to this evening, we have the key to this whole series of lessons in Proverbs so far. Wisdom leads to life, but fundamentally, wisdom originates not in following out a collection of wise precepts, but in the heart, the focus of the mind, the will, and the fountain of actions. Now, I have three points to this text this evening. The title of the sermon, as you see it up on the board, is Keeping the Heart. And if we're going to make sense of this text, then we first of all must consider the heart. What do we mean by the heart? Well, we've got to understand that what we mean by the heart, haven't we? Otherwise, the whole thing makes no sense. In the Bible, the word heart means the spiritual part of us. The Bible refers to the outward and the inward man. The outward man is simply another word for the body, the physical part of us. The inner man is the spiritual part of us. Remember, Paul in one of his epistles mentions about being the inner man being renewed day by day. He's speaking about the spiritual part of us. The heart then is the spiritual side, the inner being, the soul, the hidden man of the heart, as Paul says. Remember there over in the book of Acts, Luke is writing and he's telling us of how the Lord opened Lydia's heart. What Luke is really saying there is that the Lord did a deep work in the inner part of Lydia's soul, in the inner part of her heart, in her inner being. And so the heart refers to the thought, the will, the aspirations. The book of Proverbs itself has much to say about the heart. For example, when we go there to verse 5 of chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Chapter 14, and at verse 10, we read these words. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Over the page to chapter 15 and at verse 13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. In other words, the heart governs our countenance. And so there are other verses. I won't take time to refer to them, but there are a number of verses in the book of Proverbs that speaks about the heart. And when we read the following verses in chapter 4 from verse 24 to 27, we discover that the heart governs. For example, there in verse 24, it says, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." So the heart governs what comes out of our mouth. Verse 25, it says, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." The heart governs what we look at. And when we read verses 26 and 27, we discover that the heart governs the direction in which we go. So we notice that the heart thinks, it ponders, it discerns. And we need to give consideration to our hearts. And let me just say that as I was studying this verse, I found a tremendous challenge to my own heart. And I'm not in any way putting myself on a pedestal. I'm not in any way putting myself above anybody else this evening. Because the more that you consider this verse and the truths that surround this verse, the more that you find a challenge to one's own heart. It's always good to spend time reading the book of Proverbs, and I remember shortly after I was converted to Christ, somebody gave me advice that says, if there's 31 days in a month, then take one chapter per day and you'll get through the book of Proverbs, given that there was 31 days in the month with 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. But as I've gone on, I prefer to take the advice that the late Sidlow Baxter, who was one time pastor of Charlotte Baptist Chapel in Edinburgh, who said that the book of Proverbs is to be read slowly, ponderingly, prayerfully, and fairly often. And I think that's true. That's why when we come to a verse like this, and it's a familiar verse, I believe it's good just to take time to ponder it, to assimilate it, and to seek to hide it within our heart. But secondly, I want us to notice this evening what we are to do with our hearts. Look what it says in the text. Keep your heart with all vigilance. The NIV puts it like this. Above all else, guard your heart. The New American Standard Version puts it like this. Watch over your heart with all diligence. The New King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence. You see, the idea is to guard it or to protect it. Let me ask you a question. Did you lock your door, the door of your house tonight when you came out? Maybe some of you are not so sure. But why did you lock the door of your house? When I was coming away from the car this evening, I locked my car and walked away a few steps and then went back to check the door was locked. Not that it's worth a great deal, but it's just out of habit, eh? But I noticed somebody else, and they were standing with a key and they were pointing the key in the direction of the door of their car, and I said to him, are you sure it's locked? Have you locked your car? He says, yes, I says, I'm using this as an illustration tonight in the service. Why do we lock the door of our house? Why do we lock the door of our car? Why do we make sure the door of our house is locked? You know, sometimes when we go on holiday, we're going around the house and we're pulling out all the plugs, we're making sure the water switched off, we're making sure the windows are closed, and the last thing we do is we lock the door. And we'll probably be at the traffic lights at McDonald's there, and I'll say to Elizabeth, have you locked the back door? Yes? I'm not so sure. And you know, it was useful when the roundabout was there rather than the traffic lights, because you could go round the roundabout and come back home again and check the door was locked. But we do that, don't we? Why? Because there's valuables in the house. There's that which we want to protect. You might have a gold watch, for all I know. You have something to protect. You have something to keep safe. You have something to guard. I like to keep my books safe. Spent a long time getting them. And I like to keep them safe, so I make sure my study door is closed and the house is locked. We do this because there are valuables in our cars, because there are valuables in our house. And Solomon is saying here, guard your heart because it is valuable. You see, we need to remember that Solomon is speaking to the Lord's people. And when we look at other parts of Scripture, we are reminded of what the Lord has done in our hearts. Now, I found Wayne Grudem very helpful at this point. I was ready to quote that Scripture in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, where we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know?" But Grudem says, no, that verse doesn't apply to this text. What this text is saying is that we have got to guard the goodness of God within our hearts. We've got to guard what the Lord has done within our hearts. Turn over to the book of Romans and to chapter 5. And to the 5th verse. And we read these words. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Look at Romans 6 and verse 17. "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 21. And we read these words. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." And so Grudem is saying that the goodness of God in our hearts needs to be guarded, needs to be kept safe, needs to be protected. But then we need to ask the question, how do we keep our hearts with all vigilance? How do we protect our hearts? You see, we can't do that in our own strength. The Lord is our keeper. And therefore, we need to give ourselves to the means of grace. We need to give ourselves to devotional habits such as reading the Word of God and prayer. We need to attend worship on a regular basis. You see, when you go to the doctor, if you have a heart condition, the doctor will often say, diet and exercise. What's a diet? Diet's the Word of God for us spiritually. Exercise is you make your way to the house of God. And you fellowship with the Lord's people. Why? Because iron sharpens iron as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. There's another proverb. And, you know, when we are in contact with others and we're fellowshipping with others, very often we find if their hearts are full of the love of God and they've been spending time in the Word of God in prayer, we find them to be an inspiration. We find that their company and their fellowship stimulates us in spiritual matters. But it's important that we give ourselves to prayer. What are we doing when we pray? We're calling upon the Lord to help us and to guard our hearts, to strengthen us in that matter. See, very often, and we'll see this in a minute, the Lord brings us to the end of ourselves, to recognize that in of ourselves we cannot keep our heart. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To remind ourselves that we protect that which is valuable. Our hearts are valuable. And then thirdly, why are we to keep our hearts? Are to guard our hearts. The reason why we are to do this is my third point. Why should we guard our hearts? Well, we've noticed that it's valuable. It's the core of our being. But also, it is our relationship with the Lord. It's where all our desires, all our dreams, all our passions live. It's that part of us that connects with the Lord. You see, when we come to prayer, we're not just offering lip service. We're not just going through a ritual, but it's a reality because we are in fellowship with the Lord. We're connecting with the Lord. And it's also that part of us that connects with other people. And that's why Solomon said in verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 4, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. What is Solomon saying here? Well, what he is saying is this: your heart is the source of everything else in your life. Your heart overflows with thoughts, with words, with actions. From your heart flow the springs of life. So that heart must be guarded. It must be protected. We must care for it. we must nourish it. What are the springs of life that is referred to here in Proverbs? Where are the things that flow from our hearts that impact others? It's a spring, it's a river coming out of your heart. The impact of others. You see, you're here tonight and you may say, well, I'm not taking part in this service. I'm just sitting in the pew, sitting in the chair, singing, listening to the Word of God being preached, listening to the Word of God being read. I've been standing singing hymns. But you know, if you're in contact with people, your life has an impact upon them. A number of years ago now, we had a couple from Northern Ireland, the Reverend Dr. Andrew Woolsey and his wife Joan, staying in our home for a week. In fact, we had them on two separate occasions. I was organizing some faith mission meetings throughout the Principality of Wales, and I asked Andrew if he would come over and speak at these meetings. Very godly man, a man who's retired now from the Presbyterian ministry in Northern Ireland, somebody who lectured at one time in our own Bible college. But after the first week that Andrew and Joan were with us, they stayed from, I think, Monday through to Saturday. They came in at Liverpool and they were going from us on to Oxford to see their daughter and son-in-law. And so we were taking them to on the Saturday morning to the train in Shrewsbury, to the train station in Shrewsbury, should I say, to catch a train to Oxford. And I suppose we were near Welshpool when Andrew's wife, Joan, turned to my wife, Elizabeth, and said, Elizabeth, if we have left anything, either bring it over to Northern Ireland the next time we're coming. We're going to a wedding, I think, a couple of months later, or send it over. And then Andrew said, you know, we always leave something. And I thought, well, they're just like the rest of us. I mean, I head away to Edinburgh, and I'm probably up about Oswest, and I think I should have brought such and such a thing, and I've forgotten it. It's too late to go back, and we'll just have to go without it. And then he said this. He says, everybody always leaves something behind. And I thought, what? He says, yes. Everybody always leaves something behind. He says, you either leave an influence for good or an influence for bad. I want to tell you something, that couple spent a week in our home, staying in our home. Andrew was obviously preaching every night in the meetings. But you know, supposing he'd never gone out the door to take a meeting, their lives had an influence upon us for good. They had an impact upon us for good. And you and I don't need to be taking part in a meeting to have a good influence upon others, to have an impact upon others. It's always a very, very precious thing that you come into contact with somebody and you think, oh, it was just so lovely to be in their presence. Their lives challenged me. Their lives was a blessing to me. In what they were saying, in the way they were speaking. And surely the Lord Jesus Christ had this in thought when we read those words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and in verse 45, where we read, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You see, when we speak those words of edification and those words of kindness, then it comes from a good heart. But if our hearts are full of anger and bitterness, then that will flow out of our hearts and impact others. If our hearts are full of love for Christ, then that will spring forth from our hearts and influence others. It was the 16th century Puritan John Flavel who said this: "The keeping and right managing of the heart in every condition is the great business of the Christian's life." Matthew Henry, in his commentary, penned these words: "Out of a heart well kept will flow living issues, good products, to the glory of God and to the edification of others." You say to me, "Paul, have you ever failed in this area?" I said, "Yes, I have. Many a time." I'll give you a recent example, not the most recent example, but a recent example. We, about a fortnight ago, were up in Edinburgh for our staff meeting, staff conference. And en route, I purchased a small camper van. The one we had, I thought we had it long enough, and we decided we'd like a change. And so we ended up going the tourist route to Edinburgh. That means you go up to Carlisle, you head up the 75 to Newton Stewart, and the colleague was very kind. He took us up to Irvine, and we went up that lovely coast road, and we could see over the to the island of Arran and see the hills in Arran. When we got to Edinburgh, my general director said to us, he said, "Paul, which way did you come to Edinburgh today?" I said, "I came the tourist route." He says, "Why did you do that?" I says, "Well, I was making a purchase and I had to go via Irvine." But the next day I had to tax the vehicle. And I went across to the post office opposite our Bible college, and I said to them, "I've come with the paperwork and I would like to tax my camper van." I said, "Sorry, sir, we don't tax cars. We can't do the road tax for you. But you go down to Limerton, you'll get the tax there." Went down to Limerton and they said, "Well, we normally tax cars, but we don't have the appropriate form that you need. You have to go to Newington." Well, I knew where Newington was because that's where our Miriam lives in Edinburgh. And went down to Newington, to the post office there, and they said, "Sorry, sir, but we don't tax cars. You have to go to another post office further down the road in Newington." And to be honest with you, by this time I was thinking to myself, if only I could get back to Newtown, it would be a lot easier. You see, there's one post office that does everything. And here am I in the city of Edinburgh, and I've already come to the third post office. I'm on the way to the fourth. I've paid a horrendous price to park the car, and I'm agitated, I'm harassed, frustrated. And I thought to myself, if they can't tax the camper here, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Get me back to Newtown. Our Miriam says that they walk too slow in Newtown, and I thought, well, I'm glad they walk too slow because it's an easier pace of life for us oldies. And I eventually got the car, the vehicle taxed. That evening, after the meeting, we were having supper, and one of our retired workers, who's just along with his wife retired about 6 months ago, he said to me, "Paul, I saw you down in Newington this afternoon." I thought, oh dear. I reckon my heart was governing my countenance by this stage. You see, my heart had got out of tune. I hadn't been keeping my heart with all diligence. And Fabel, he has an illustration of this, of a violin getting out of tune. somebody's tuned their violin and they hang it up in the wall, and somebody comes along and knocks it and it's out of tune and it has to be retuned. And sometimes that is exactly what is to happen. We're to seek the Lord's forgiveness. We're to acknowledge our weakness. We're to confess our need for the Lord's help to keep our hearts with all vigilance. To be absolutely honest before the Lord. As I ponder this text, as I've studied this text, it's been a challenge to my own heart to give myself to the means of grace. That my heart is out of tune, to seek with the Lord's help to retune it, because it's valuable. It's got to be protected. Wonder tonight, is there somebody here and they say, well, my heart's got out of tune? Can I say that it is for you to seek the Lord in that matter? Ask the Lord to bring your heart into tune. But oh, how important it is for us to guard our hearts, to set a watch upon our hearts, because they're valuable. But maybe you're here tonight, and like Lydia, you need the Lord to open your heart to His grace, to do a deep inner work within your heart, so that with confidence you can say, I am His and He is mine. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for the challenge of Your word. We thank You, Father, that You love us, You care for us. We come, Lord, to thank You that for the work that You've done within our hearts. Lord, we have so much to protect, so much to value, and we acknowledge, Lord, that which is good in our hearts is a work of grace, is that which You have done. And so we praise You. Help us then to be meditators of Your word. Help us to walk in the light of Your word. For we ask it in our Savior's name and for His glory. Amen.